Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you guys jumping on. We're going to give everybody some time to find the live video. Good morning. Let's see, it could be afternoon depending on where you are logging in from. But it's good to see all of you guys jumping on this morning before lunch on the East Coast. So getting ready to go grab some lunch. And I wanted to just spend a little bit of time talking with you guys. This topic came up in our mentoring program. They're working through just inner healing stuff. And we were talking about soul ties and inner vows and critical and judgmental spirit. And they had a lot of questions about inner vows. And I said, okay, I'm going to do a live because I assume a lot of people are dealing with understanding inner vows, a critical and judgmental spirit. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you think of someone that needs this, go ahead and share the live. We all probably need it. And it's a really, really powerful thing. It's a really powerful spiritual principle that we need to make sure that we understand so that it is not impacting our life, not impacting our decisions. And a lot of the times it's subconscious or out of our control. So we're going to be talking about inner vows, understanding them from a biblical perspective, how to break them, and then how they're connected to a critical and judgmental spirit. And the result of that, what happens when you have a critical and judgmental spirit, the kind of damage that it does on your life. And so we're going to jump right in. Like I said, good morning, everyone. So glad you joined me. Y'all know I don't do a lot of dilly-dallying. I go straight to what I'm going to talk about that morning so that we could leave some time for some Q&A towards the end, all right? So when you think of the term inner vow, I don't know if a lot of you guys have heard about it. If you've been following me for a while, you should have, but we'll start with the inner vows and then we'll deal with the critical and judgmental spirit because they are connected. But an inner vow, and I love this definition from Anka Church, they say an inner vow is a self-directed, self-focused promise that we make to ourselves in response to our difficulty, frustration, or pain. So what is an inner vow? An inner vow is self-directed, self-focused, will never do whatever, because of a difficulty or a pain or a frustration that we're in. I call inner vows the I nevers, right? This is when we say I will never, but it also can be I will not, right? I won't, I will always. Anytime you make this extreme commitment to yourself to never do something or to always do something, what happens is that you are making an inner vow, right? An inner vow is a promise to yourself. So in order to understand inner vow, we need to define what a vow is. And a vow is a solemn promise. And so when you put it together, inner vow is a solemn promise to yourself to not to repeat a cycle or not to be like someone or to never get, you know, angry, whatever it is. And it sounds very noble. It sounds very good, right? Because you're saying I'm going to avoid this particular thing, but this inner vows can be very, very detrimental. So let's look at some scripture about why inner vows actually turn against you in your own life. All right. Matthew 5:33-37 says, you have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows, just a simple yes, I will, or I will not, right? So don't make any vows at all. And so if you're going to make a vow, the only vow that should be made is to the Lord. And if you're going to make a vow to the Lord, you better plan on completing that vow, because there is a clear direction throughout scripture about what vows are and what they mean. Ecclesiastic 5:4-6 was the first time this verse is given. And it says again, when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it. Don't say, God, I promise you, if you do this, then I will never do this. God, I promise you, if you save me from this, then I will do this, right? Do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. So for those that make vows to the Lord and then they don't fulfill those vows, guess what? You're a fool, right? Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. We're talking about inner vows for those of you guys who are just joining us. And this is an inner healing, this is an inner healing area that people have to walk through, especially if they want to be whole. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake, right? So now, you know, don't be like, I said it, but I accidentally said it, right? Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Oh gosh. So when we just say something, when we make a promise, when we make a solemn vow to ourselves, and sometimes it's even to our hearts, God is expecting you to fulfill that, whether it's to him or you have said it, right? James 5:12. I always like to give scriptural basis when we're doing inner healing, when we're doing deliverance, especially because there is so much new age and so much going on out there that I want you to understand that even though this concept, inner vow, may not be in a clear verse, you know, some of y'all, right, are like, I never seen inner vow. Someone was saying they've never seen therapy in scripture. And there's a whole verse and many others that say, you know, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. I didn't go back and forth with him though. But anyway, James 5:12. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no be your no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. This is another aside. This is why I'm not a big fan of secret sororities and all of that, because you're making vows to other gods. You're making vows. You're making solemn oaths, right? And the scriptures clearly tell us about making vows and making solemn oaths, but that's not what we're talking about today. One more scripture, and then we're going to go back into how inner vows work and how they could be impacting your life. Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vows a vow to the Lord, oh, that's the one I just read, or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. This is the other thing. This goes back to the pledging stuff, right? You're binding yourself by a pledge, and he shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So once again, when you think about it, you're like, oh, this is not a bad thing. But the thing about vows is that they are unscriptural. And so we read the definition of an inner vow, which is self-directed and self-focused, a promise that we make to ourselves that usually say, I will never. And I call them the I nevers, right? And so you may be growing up, and remember, the Lord, the enemy is always looking for a foothold in your life. And so you may be growing up and you may see, you know, a parent who you don't think is parenting well. This is where the judgmental and critical spirit comes in. And you say, well, I will never parent like that, right? Or you don't like how your mom and dad interact. And you say, well, I will never be like my mother, right? Or you see somebody, you know, doing something in a relationship and you say, I will never let a man treat me like that, right? We say these things and they're self-directed and they're self-focused promises. At no way in time are we saying, Holy Spirit, help me to make better decisions. Holy Spirit, help me to operate in a different way, right? But we are making these self-focused decisions. So the issue comes when we think that we are capable of controlling our life. When we think that we are capable of directing how things go. So what happens with an inner vow, it's an I never. And sometimes the scripture for Numbers was, someone is asking for me to give them the scripture again. Let me quickly do that. Numbers 30, verse 2. So what happens is when we have made this vow, It is an internal decision, which becomes part of our fuel. And there's a lot of subconscious. That means they're not things that we know we're thinking of, but they're directing how we live our lives and how we make decisions. So the inner vow now becomes part of the fuel in why we are doing what we're doing. So for example, if you looked at someone with a judgmental, and let me go into the judgmental and critical heart, then I'll give you guys examples. Because if you look at someone with a judgmental or a critical heart and you say, I will never be fat, right? Or something like that. One or two things is going to happen. You're going to work so hard to fulfill that vow to yourself because you made it to yourself. So you're either going to be extremely health conscious, extremely skinny, you know, always worried about being fat. And you may not even know why, right? Because you made this inner vow to yourself. Or you run into the very thing that you judged or cursed. So now you're struggling with your weight. Now you can't, you know, lose weight. Now your weight is up and down because at some point you had a judgmental judgment or a critical spirit towards someone. So let me give you the scriptures around a judgmental or a critical spirit because this all plays together, all right? A critical spirit is a negative attitude of the heart that seeks to condemn, tear down, and destroy with words, right? In contrast, a constructive spirit seeks to build up, and it is meant good for the person that you're giving it. So a person who has a critical spirit, what they do is that they feel like they have the full lens of a situation, and they use what they feel like they see and they understand to make judgments and to make sayings about other people. And in turn, they also make inner vows. So if you look at your mom and you judge her because you think she was weak for staying too long with someone, or if you look at a pastor and you judge them because you think they should have dealt with the situation one way and not the way, your way and not the way that they dealt with, you are entertaining a judgmental and critical spirit because your judgment of them is not one that would build them up. It is something that you feel like it is, it's mishandled or it's done in the wrong way. And so what happens when we have a judgmental and critical spirit, we make vows. We make vows to ourselves. When I'm a leader, I am not going to do that, right? When I have children, I am never going to do that. When I get married, I will never do that. And we're making these vows because we have had this judgment that we have created against someone else. And there are four ways that the critical spirit and the judgmental spirit show up. And I want to give you these four ways, and then I'm going to give you examples of inner vows and the critical and judgmental spirit, how they work together, how to break them, and how to move forward. And all of this is, we cover this in detail in our Inner Healing and Deliverance course, which starts in 2 weeks. Payment plan option ends next Friday. So if you're like, still on the fence, you want to take this course, you want to help people learn how to walk through deliverance and inner healing, this is the time to sign up. But there's the gossiper. The gossiper is one who reveals secrets going out to other people. And generally, that gossiper is not revealing anything uplifting. The gossiper is someone who has a critical spirit because what they have done is gotten information and then they're releasing and hoping other people will judge that information. So they take what is privileged information about people and then they share that information, not to uplift, but they share it to usually make themselves look more important to the person that is hearing the information. So I always tell people the gossiper always starts with like, girl, did you hear? Or man, let me tell you something that's going on, right? And so it is very clear that someone who is gossiping has already made a judgment. They've already made a judgment about the person that they are gossiping about, right? 1 Timothy 5:13 says, at the same time, they also learn to be idle. Usually people that gossip a lot are people that are idle. As they go around from house to house and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies talking about things not proper to mention. We're talking about inner vows here. We're talking about a critical and judgmental spirit that often will lead to things like gossip. The next thing that it will lead to is slander, all right? A slanderer is a person who makes false statements in order to damage a person's reputation, right? They do not care about the truth or even correcting an error. And so oftentimes someone who's very critical, oh, they're going to make lots of false statements. People that have a critical and judgmental spirit, they think they know, but oftentimes they don't. So they will go around saying, well, when I was there, when I was at that church, blah, 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 blah. Oh, when I went to school with that person, I know that blah, 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 blah. But oftentimes they don't have the full picture. But what they don't realize is that every time they're critical and every time they're judgmental, they're heaping judgment and criticism upon themselves. Today, I'm teaching you guys about things that we do, whether it's internally or externally, that cause maladaptive patterns in our own lives. So there are some of us who are like, I don't know why I don't have friends. It could be because you have a critical spirit. I don't know why I'm not married yet. It could be because you made an inner vow. I don't know why money always comes in my hands and slips out. It could be because you had a judgment towards those that had money. Right? It is so important for you to do the work to kind of discern, right? Where is it in my heart that I may have made inner vows, or maybe I have a critical spirit or a judgmental spirit? So one of the ways to discern if you're critical or judgmental, there's gossip around you, there is slander around you, and then there's actual judgmentalism. Now, our world loves to say stuff like, don't judge me, right? The Bible tells us that we can preach the gospel, and oftentimes the word itself will judge our actions, right? But we cannot say you're going to hell because blah, 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 right? We cannot say that. We don't even have a hell to put people into. That's really what judgment is. But then there's this aspect where someone has such a critical point of view, right? And so what they do is that they lack empathy because they believe that their viewpoint is the right one. So these are the people that always feel like they've got it all figured out. Like I like tremble. I quake at the people who go on social media and they've got it all figured out. Like, this is how you're supposed to do this and this and this and this. And if you do this, then you are a sinner. If you do this, then you don't know God. If you are a woman who preaches, then you're going to hell. Like, you have made such a clear judgment on things that are not so clear. And that is so detrimental, because the level that we judge at is the measure that we'll be judged on as well. And I'll read you guys that scripture. They believe, this kind of person, that they have the ability to know other people's motives. We don't know other people's motives. We know what scripture says, and we can judge fruit, but we can't judge motives. We can judge what's coming out of a person's life because we see it, but we can't judge why they did it or how they did, you know, why they did it or why they didn't do it. This person who is very judgmental, they feel like they have this skill to be able to point out everybody's mistake. Not that they feel like they have it. They point out everybody's mistakes, but always minimize their own. This is super dangerous. They criticize everybody else, but they cannot see where they have fallen short. And then the other type is the complainer. Oh my gosh, this is a whole lesson in itself. But a complaining person has habitually negative thoughts about others and even about their own life circumstances. And so when a person is a complainer, they're characterized by discontentment or lack of gratitude. They're always discontent. They don't have any forms of gratitude. And this is the issue with being a complainer. This is the issue with not seeing anything positive. Because out of that, out of the wellsprings, out of your heart, right? Well, issues of life flow out of your mouth. And so what you begin to do is then that's where the inner vows come in. That's where the judgmental and the critical spirit comes in, right? Scripture of Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. So if I am complaining, right, that nobody ever, you know, pays attention to me, I the next thing that's probably going to come out of my mouth is I will never XYZ, right? If I am grumbling at how my boss is, the next thing that may come out of my mouth is I will never work for this company again, or I will never be like my boss. And like I said, the I nevers always seem like a good thing, but they're not, because you're relying on yourself to change the trajectory of your life. God calls us to rely on him because he knows all things. We all have just a limited perspective of what is ahead of us. And so someone, one of my students asked me, and I was sharing earlier that why I did this live is I was mentoring our students in our DTA program, and we were talking about inner vows, and they had a lot of questions around inner vows. So I said, let me do a live. But one of them was asking, what if it's a good thing? What if it's a good thing? What if I say, like, I will never, you know, not go to church, right? It's a good thing. I will never not go to church. Well, any promise that you make to yourself has the potential of turning against you. Because what happens is that you are trying to fulfill that promise so much, you may be constantly going to the church and the church is abusive, right? You may be constantly going to church and serving and your other lives of your life are falling apart. A great example is this. I had a friend who said, I will never marry someone who will cheat on me, right? Because they had a father who had cheated. Well, they didn't marry a cheater, but they married a lazy man. Well, how does that work? Well, they said, I will never marry someone like my father. And their father had all these other wonderful qualities, except this mistake that they had made. And when they made that qualification, I will never marry like someone like my father, they X'd out all the other good things that were connected to it. So yes, all you are thinking in your head is you don't want anyone to ever cheat on you, right? Who does, right? But you also X'd out the other things. Same way someone else said, you know, I will never marry a lazy man, right? I will never marry a lazy man. And I'm picking on the women here. You could say a man can say it, right? I'm not going to marry a lazy woman. I want her to work and whatever, whatever, right? And you marry someone and, you know, initially they can start out working and they're go-getters and all of this. But because you have a critical and judgmental spirit, it's never enough. And so now your words start tearing them down, start making them frustrated, start slowing them down. And now all of a sudden you're looking at the very thing that you are running away from. You didn't want to marry someone who was lazy and tired, but because you were so critical and judgmental, you have torn down their spirit and they are now the very thing that you ran away from. So with inner vows, you're always going to either run to the total opposite end, but it's going to be unhealthy, or you're going to run from the very thing that you have been trying to run from. And so the goal of this is to ask Holy Spirit to be part of your process. If you see a characteristic in someone, Lord, help me to be a better mother, instead of saying, Lord, I will never be like her as a mother, right? Because then you are making it your priority to do that. If you see something in, you know, a leader, God, help me to make better decisions. Not, I will never do something like that. And so you have to search your life. And what I had my students do, I'm going to give you guys this little tidbit, is make a list of the I nevers. And oftentimes you will find that your list of I nevers is prohibiting certain things in your life. And so I always share the story of the I never that I had, which was, I will never marry an African man. And that I never, remember, these inner vows come from experiences or pain points or whatever. And it's just because I had father wounds. And so when I made that inner vow, right, when I was a young girl, I didn't even know I was making that inner vow. And so I made this inner vow based on my experiences with my fathers, right? And so I'm, you know, growing and getting, understanding these things better. And I started asking myself, why did I make this vow? Like, where did this vow came from? And I realized where it had come from. And another vow I had made was never a Nigerian. Now that one, I could not find where that vow came from. And a lot of times the enemy is wanting you to come into agreement with things by you saying, I never, I will not, and it has no basis. But because you have come into agreement with it, it is so. If you believe it in your heart, if you confess it with your mouth, it is established. And so I'm never gonna marry a Nigerian. I had never dated one. I didn't know really any. Why did I make that vow? Well, come to find out, I began to break all these vows in my life. And I said, God, I will marry whoever you have for me, as long as they love you more than they love me. And, you know, we have the same vision. I am open. Well, 2 weeks later, guess what? I dreamt about this man that I was going to marry. And I was like, I don't know if that's it. 2 weeks later, I meet him. He is an African man. He is a Nigerian man. But if I had not broken those vows and I had not gone to the source of why I had not met them, I would have forfeited the destiny of God on my life. Inner vows are often tools to cause you to forfeit the destiny of God in your life. Look and assess your I nevers. Why are you saying that? I will never leave this city. Why? Could it be that your destiny is connected to the city that God is calling you to? I will never be a teacher. Why? Could it be that you're called to transform children? I will never be a pastor's wife, right? I will never marry a pastor. Why? Could it be that there is a mantle on your life to bring healing and restoration? And so you need to assess your I nevers, because your I nevers often will be a clue to forfeiting your destiny. And so you want to assess, even if it sounds good. We never make a vow to ourselves. We always ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, to help us in one particular area. Never say stuff like, when I am rich, I am never going to do whatever, because you don't know what you're going to do. You've never been there, right? You've never been there, but you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. Even as an upcoming leader, I would see different things that leaders did and pastors did. And I because I had learned about inner vows, I would say, Holy Spirit, help me to not be able to listen, right? Holy Spirit, help me to be patient. So instead of just bringing this I never, because nobody has clarity about who they're going to become and where they're going more than the Father. So that was my little tidbit for you guys on inner vows and the critical and judgmental spirit. And like I said, this is stuff that we go in detail in our 6-week course, 12 hours of our inner healing and deliverance course. If you're interested in signing up, I would encourage you to do so. And then we pray into these things. So starting on Tuesday, our 21-day fast for singles who want to get married, marriages that need to be restored, people who want to have children, just families and the nation starts. And we pray for 21 days, 6 a.m. You can sign up for the link, or you can watch it in our WMI group. So we stream it into there, and it's just amazing and life-changing. All right. If you have a question, go ahead and post your question with the hashtag Q in front. And as you are doing that, so what you do is you just say, God, I renounce every I never that I have made in my life that did not include you. God, every promise, every vow that I made for myself, I renounce it. To renounce is not just to repent, but to come out of agreement with it. God, I want what you have. And then you say, God, forgive me for any times I've had a judgmental and critical spirit. And if you remember against who, you say against my mom or against my boss or against leaders. God, I come out of agreement with the critical and judgmental spirit. And I ask you, Lord, to help heal me and restore me. And there is a reason why people have a critical and judgmental spirit or slander or gossip. And it has a lot to do with their identity. I don't have time to teach on that today. I teach on it in the inner healing and deliverance course. But you also want to start doing the soul work to figure out why that has been such a big thing in your life. All right. Tasha said, this was so good, woman of God. Teach us today. Thank you. You're welcome. I've never really stopped and listened to you, but blessed me this morning. Awesome. I hope you stop another time. Awesome. So your questions, just put a hashtag Q, and I will go through some of the questions of what I taught. Can territories have vows attached to them? Not necessarily, unless, right, the principalities or the powers that be made them. So presidents can say stuff over their nations, right? Governors can say stuff over their regions. It has to do with spheres. It has to do with metrons, which, by the way, is, we're going to cover all of that at our Pioneers Conference, which is coming up in November. But it has to do with the leadership, and leadership can speak over things, over regions, the same way parents can speak over families, right? So you can have it that way. How do you separate critical from counsel? Counsel always lifts up. The root of the prophetic is to exhort, edify, and comfort. And if you have wisdom, your wisdom is always going to edify, comfort, and it can correct, but it will never tear down. So if I have a correction for you, I may say, hey, you really need to work on how you talk to people, because I feel like one of the things that God wants to do is give you influence on how you speak. I corrected the person, but I also lifted them up. So you have to have wisdom. If you think you have a lot of counsel, but it's always critical, it's always tearing down, then you're not partnering with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit always exhorts, edifies, and comforts. It says godly sorrow leads us to repentance. And so when you correct people, if you have a critical nature, people are just going to be crying and they're not going to want to deal with you. But if you have a godly spirit and your spirit is pure, when you correct people, it's going to lead them to godly repentance. They may cry a little bit because their hearts are rent before the Father. So it's all about your spirit and it's all about your motives as to why you're saying what you're saying and what you're doing, what you're doing. That's why if I'm frustrated or tired, sometimes I won't prophesy to people because I want to minister out of the right spirit. All right. Make sure you put a Q if you have a question in front of your question so that I know it's not just a statement. What do I do with my spirit toward the rich? Well, why do you have those beliefs around the rich, right? You're probably struggling with the poverty spirit, and I've taught on the poverty spirit. You can search on my YouTube, but a lot of times when people have a poverty mindset, right, they're very critical towards the rich. If I was rich, I would do this. But I love this example of Judas, right, who was stealing money as the treasurer to Jesus, and he has the nerve to tell the woman who brings the vase of oil that she shouldn't break that and waste it on Jesus because it should be going to the poor. So people with the poverty mindset always think they know what to do with money more than the people that actually have money. But there is a reason why they have that money, right? And so you want to deal with the poverty mindset and say, why am I critical? Why do I have these beliefs about money so that the Lord can begin to heal and restore you? All right, Dr. Faith, if you believe God has shown you someone is your spouse, but you've learned they've vowed against marriage, do you pray for them or move on, right? So they're going to have to break that vow. You can say, Holy Spirit, help them to break that vow. Help them to understand why that is ungodly. Help them to heal them. And they probably vowed against marriage because they are wounded and they are hurt, right? And so this is a lot of, during our 21-day fast, we pray and teach a lot around marriage and marriage preparation and family and all of that. But they probably have a wound because most people make vows because they've been wounded, right? And so you can pray that God reveals it. But after a certain point, if they don't want to come out of agreement with that vow, you can't make them come out of that agreement. They will date you for 7 years. These are the people that have in their heart said they will never get married, but they like relationships. And you want to get married, right? But you are stuck because internally they have beliefs and vows that they have made. Someone said, please save this live. My lives are always saved on my YouTube channel or on my public page on Facebook. All right. Teach Dr. Faith. Very good. Questions. Let me go on Instagram here and see if there are any questions. What if my husband is so critical towards me, always watering every effort I make? That's hard because you're married to them. One, you can communicate to them what that criticism does, but if they're broken and if they're wounded, they're gonna have to heal. Like they're gonna have to do the work of understanding what criticism does. So you're going to have to spend a lot of time in the presence of God. You need to get around people that can celebrate you and not just tolerate you. And then you have to speak the word of God over yourself every single day so that you believe more what the word of God says than what he is saying over your life. All right. What if vows were made generationally? Yeah, so then you have a generational curse. Very good question. So some of families have generational curses because vows were made. So great grandma Lucy could say, all men are losers. And we don't, in this family, we will never need a man, right? In this family, we'll never need a man. And then all of a sudden, you're like 7 years in. Why isn't every relationship not working? Why, you know, do men not approach me? You need to begin to ask the Holy Spirit. And this is the thing. If you don't know, you just don't know. But you can say, God, I break every generational curse over my life that was made unknowingly or knowingly. So yes, people speak things over their bloodline, which is a vow or a curse, and then it perpetuates until someone comes out of agreement with it. Jesus died for the curse, but we have to come out of agreement with the curse so that we can live in the fullness of what God has done. Very good question. I really appreciate you and this teaching. Yay, I'm so glad it is beneficial. Share it. Can making inner vows make you stuck in cycles or deception that you won't know that you're stuck in? Of course. That's what inner vows do. They cause you. So for example, if you say, I will never marry out of my race. Well, different people from other races could be approaching you all the time. But because you have made this inner vow, you're in this cycle of singleness because of that vow. You could say stuff like, I will never be poor. Let's say, let's do this one, because that sounds like such a noble, righteous vow, right? I will never be poor. I will never suffer like we suffered growing up. Well, one or two things is going to happen. You're going to be so money driven. You're going to be so success driven that it's going to begin to impact your emotions. You're probably going to struggle with control, because inner vows are all about control. You're trying to control your future. So you got to make it happen. You're, you know, the go-getter. You're the independent person. And what happens is that you will step over people in order for that vow to be completed, even though you don't know it, because we are natural and spiritual beings. So as soon as you make a vow, the enemy's like, okay, got it, bet. Let me help them. Let me fuel this vow out of their own effort. So you're like, I just work hard because I'm never going to be broke like I was when I was growing up. But you may have money, but oftentimes other things may suffer. Your physical health, you may not have healthy relationships. Or you could have made that inner vow, I will never be broke, right? I will never be broke. And then all of a sudden, everything that you try to do doesn't work. Everything falls apart. You're running into the very thing that you said you would never do. And most likely that happens when you have a judgment or a critical spirit behind it. Let me read the scripture that I had wanted to read to you guys. So Luke 6:37, in terms of how this works, do not judge, and you will not be judged, right? And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. So when we are critical and judgmental towards other people, right, then what happens is that that very thing that we judged or were critical comes upon us. And so I'm saying, I will never be poor because my mama was a poor money manager or whatever, but it's because I said it out of a critical heart. And now I'm seeing the same cycle in my life. Most likely you made an inner vow at some point that you need to break and you need to come out of agreement with it. You say, Lord, give me the wisdom to be able to create wealth. Lord, forgive me for where I was judgmental or critical against, you know, poverty or people that had no money. Lord, forgive me for the areas where I've tried to do this out of my own strength. I surrender my plans to you. I surrender my wisdom to you. Then the Lord can now direct your path. This is something to write down. When you make inner vows, you direct your own path. When scriptures tell us that when we love him and trust him, he will direct our path. All right. You are helping me this morning. So good. Question. Is it still being critical if you commented on the pastor who claimed he was robbed during his service? Well, I don't know what you said when you commented, so you may not have been critical. You may have said, man, I'm really sorry. That's not being critical. But if you said that's because you are robbing people, and that's because you are, like, you know, it might be true. But first of all, like, choose where you throw your pearls, right? You don't need to comment on everything. You don't need to have an opinion about everything, right? Choose where you throw your pearls and then look at why you're saying what you're saying. If you have judgment or criticism, then you are being judgmental or critical. All right. Are inner vows and core longings the same thing? No, I mean, but you need to make sure that your longing is submitted to the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, and in all your ways he'll direct your path. And then you have, that's not the one I wanted to quote, but it just flowed out. Let me pull up the one, right? Yeah, there it is. The desires of your heart. I wanted to say the whole thing. I want to make sure that I'm saying the whole thing. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I love this. And he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Just delight yourself also in the Lord, and then he shall give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? When we learn how to delight in the Lord, it means that we learn to learn his ways. We learn to understand what pleases him, what is good to him, what is righteous, what is pure. And when we learn the Lord's ways, we find out that his ways are better. And because his ways are better, what he wants for us is what we begin to want for us. But it only comes after we have learned how to delight, which this is a whole other teaching. And so you can have longings in your heart that are from the Lord because you have spent time delighting in the Lord, but you could also have longings that you created in your own heart because you're trying to fill a void. And so you need to discern whether that longing is from the Lord, or you have been, like, it could be like you've been in the presence of the Lord and all of a sudden you feel led to, you know, start helping children in India. Right? That is a desire of the Lord. And you know the desires of the Lord based on whether it is unto righteousness, whether it is pure, whether it is peaceable, right? And so inner vows and inner longings are not the same thing. Inner vows are vows like I will never, I will not. Those are vows that you make to yourself. All right. Any other questions this morning? Can you share the link for the 21-day fast? It's actually in the description. So if you read the description on Facebook or on YouTube, you'll see the link for the 21-day fast and our inner healing and deliverance course. If you are on Instagram, check my bio and the link tree has all the information. All right. What if I made that vow that I don't want to get married? Why? Right? Ask yourself why. Right? Because most of the times it's connected to pain. And we don't make theologies about God and what he wants to do in our lives based off of pain. So get to the root of your why. All right. Do you have a book on inner healing and deliverance? I have a whole course. It's 12 hours, right? So I've written several books, one called Marked, one called Healing Your Past. All of those touch on, you know, different things, and they're all an inner healing thing. And then you can go to my blog, askdrfaith.com, if you're like, I'm not paying to take your course, and I have free blogs on there where I talk about inner healing and deliverance. But I have a mentorship program, which is called DTA. We're not enrolling for that right now. You missed it in July. And so we walk people through inner healing and deliverance. And then we have a whole course, which is 12 hours, where we teach people how to do inner healing and deliverance and understand all these things from a higher level. All right. Make sure you put a Q if you have a question. How do you operate in your calling and separate being a friend from being a shepherd when you have a nurturing spirit? It's called wisdom. Right. So when you are a shepherd, you're a shepherd. Like I have maybe, you know, our elders, and we consider them our friends. And then we have several people that are mature in the church that I would also consider a friend. And when I say mature, is that my humanity doesn't change their view of me as a leader. Right. And so that's what you want to look for if you think you should be friends with people that you are leading. Generally, I wouldn't do that until you've seen the maturity of the person, and then you slowly unveil yourself to them. This is a lot of stuff that we talk about at Pioneers. We do a whole VIP day on leadership and on ministry and how do you balance all those things. So if you're interested in that, that's coming up in November, but you need to check their maturity level before you unveil yourself and become friends with someone that you're leading. All right. Question. Are inner vows a form of pride? They could be, because you want to fix it yourself. Let's see. Any other cues? Awesome. So good. I hope this was helpful. What if you pray and break vows and covenants, but you continue to have dreams that are contradicting? Then you need to go through inner healing, and you also need to change your mindset. What we dream oftentimes is a reflection of what we think. And so if you have a certain thought patterns, they're going to show up in your dream state, but they're also going to show up in how you live your life. So challenge your thinking about whatever you broke the vows on, all right, or created. Please, what is the link for the fasting for the singles? Look in the description below on YouTube and you will find it. Is it also a dishonor of your mother that brings a curse as well? Is it also a dishonor of your mother? Well, scripture says, honor your mother and father so that your days may be long, right? Honoring doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything that they do. Honoring doesn't even mean that you have to stay under abuse or control or manipulation. Honoring just means that you speak well of them, even though you know their humanity, and you're there to help them if they need it, right? People get confused with honor. They think that you have to be in constant relationship, but some people are really difficult, but you honor them by how you speak of them. You honor them by being a resource for them when they need it with the clear boundaries. Is a judgment the same thing as the very thing you feared has come upon you? Is a judgment and critical? Yes, I didn't even get to go into all of that. So the judgment and critical spirit is based on four things. I don't have time. Maybe I'll do a part two, but fear is one of them. Control is another one. So when people are afraid, they'll be critical and they'll be judgmental. When people lose control, right, they will want to be in control, and they can say inner vows to develop some type of control. When you make inner vows, you direct your own path. That's it. Could me being critical of rich and famous people be jealousy? Yes. What if the vow is for a good reason, like goals? Will you still be stuck? Yes, because you're making it out of your own effort. You need to say, Holy Spirit, help me lose this weight. Holy Spirit, give me strategy. Not like, I will never be fat. I will never, because the thing is, the truth is, you may be able to do it, but oftentimes it's connected to something. All those vows will cost you something. We renounce all vow knowing. Yeah, very good. Let's see. What's the question here? We renounce all vow knowingly. And if someone said a vow in my bloodline, just renounce it and come out of agreement. Will that Well, they set our future generation if they never said that vow. So once you break a vow, it should not be passed on to your children or your children's children. And you can break generational vows 10 generations back, 100 generations back. You can also break them 10 generations forward, 100 generations forward. But it's not just about saying it. It's about changing how you guys have lived. If you say, we will never be poor, right? And then you're like, oh man, I made an inner vow. God, I break that inner vow of poverty over my life. Lord, give me wisdom on how to manage money, right? So you got to also partner it with the wisdom on how to partner with God to not step into the very thing, all right? Wouldn't saying you will never be like your mom be having a critical spirit against your mother before judging your mom qualifies dishonor, which brings a curse? Yes, that's how all of these work together. And that's why I taught about all three of them. What is the difference between a spoken vow versus a declaration that you speak? A vow is an I will never. Declarations that are in scripture that says, I am healed, I am the head and not the tail, I am above and not beneath, those are not nevers, right? And a matter of fact, this month, I'm releasing two things. My declaration book is coming out, right? And we'll walk you guys through declarations. And those declarations should not have an I will never in them, right? They say, I have the mind of Christ, I am loving, I hear the voice of God, and I am led by it. You want to look for the I will nevers or I will nots, because that is what directs your own path. Are judgment and critical spirits connected to Absalom? Not sure if I spelled that right. Absalom, judgment on critical spirit, maybe, but after he did what he did, he wasn't really judgmental and critical. I'd have to look at the whole story again to see where that piece comes in. All right. Let's see. Are there any good vows, good inner vows? We shouldn't make inner vows at all. Right? We should ask the Lord to help us with all of our ways and teach us. Which book should I get regarding the critical spirit? You should sign up for the course. I don't, maybe the Healing Your Past. I talk about overcoming rejection and all of that, but I've not written a book on the critical spirit. So you can go to my recommended books tab and see if there's some that others have written that I've shared. All right. Can a good vow from a place of fear still boomerang? Anything out of a place of fear, we don't operate out of a place of fear. So anything out of a place of fear can cause issues back on your own life. Many of my inner vows come from molestation and rejection from a parent. Do you have recommendations of books that can help with my healing? Yeah, you definitely have to go through therapy, especially if it came from your parent. And then obviously just breaking those inner vows and then forgiving your parents. Once again, I wish you guys were in DTA, because that's what we walk people through, where you learn how to come out of agreement with the lies that you've come into agreement with because of that pain. So, all right. Bless you guys. From what should vows be made, since we should not vow from a place of fear? We shouldn't make vows at all, right? Unless it is a vow before the Lord that the Lord is instructing us, right? So when we read some scriptures earlier. Let me go back. These are the vows. This is what it says. Let me read this scripture here to help you. Where did I put it? Yeah, this is Matthew. It says, you have also heard that our ancestors were told you must not break your vows. So you can make them, but you must carry out the vows that you make to the Lord. So there are vows that we make to the Lord that can be good vows, but you also need to invite God in that process. So when I vow to love and care for my husband and to, you know, not leave him and all of that, there's a so help me God there, right? Right? Like God help me to honor and to cherish my husband. If you just make that vow out of your own strength, it could be really difficult. If you say, God, like I made a vow to the Lord in my 20s, and I say, God, I will give you my 20s. Help me to live out my life for you, right? And guess what? He did. I did all these things for the Lord, but you cannot say, God, I'm making a vow to you, and then you don't intend to keep it. That's where the problem comes in. So you can make vows to the Lord, right? But don't make vows to yourself. You understand? I will never do this. I will not do this. But if you say, God, I make a vow to live for you and love you. If you do that and don't do it frivolously, make sure you intend to keep it. Because when you read the rest of that verse, right? You must carry out the vow to the Lord. And then verse 34 says, but I say, do not make any vows. So when people make vows to the Lord, it should be a holy and sacred moment. It should be something that it that God directed so that God can help you. But some of us be like, God, I promise I will never do this again if you rescue me. We're making all these promises, these vows, but we don't even intend to keep them. That's not good. Is I don't want to creating a vow. I don't want to do this, right? The vow is when you self-direct how you're going to achieve that thing that you don't want, all right? Yeah, that's why wedding vows should have so help me God, right? Because that we're not making a vow to do this by ourselves. We're saying, God, help me to honor and to cherish and to love. Thank you. Yes, Absalom judged his father because his father didn't correct his son. Yeah, anytime there's judgment, right, it starts a whole heap of things, all right? So critical spirit is the same thing. Learn how to see people the way that God sees them. Learn, ask the Lord to show you what is good and what is right in situations and not just what you think. Last question here, and then I gotta go. Is perfectionism connected to these three things? Yeah, because you want to do everything perfectly because you've made an inner vow that is driving your decisions. And so you have to prove that vow correct. So perfectionism is very much connected. Is it possible to make vows in your heart without specifically saying, I won't? You could, I mean, but these are generally the I nevers and I won'ts, but there are other ways to say it. And there's people who speak different languages, right? And so there might be a way that you make a vow to yourself for yourself without including the Lord. All right. This was so good. Vow to God and not self. Very good. Hannah made a vow to God, right? And it was about Samuel and she kept it. You cannot make vows to God and you do not keep them. Can you break a vow with God? You shouldn't, right? But you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. I made that vow foolishly. I made that vow immaturely. Help me, you know, to either honor it or Holy Spirit, release me, right? You can pray, Holy Spirit, release me. So, like I said, if you enjoyed this, we'd love to have you in our Inner Healing and Deliverance course at the end of the 6 weeks. You'll be certified. Even if you don't want to help people walk through inner healing and deliverance, if you need to go through it yourself, it will really, really be helpful for you. So it'll be a good investment. And then starting on Tuesday, 6 a.m., wherever you are, we're going to start praying. And we pray through a lot of these things that I've taught as well today. So I look forward. Can you do a part two, please? I'll see if I can do a part two. Maybe go into a little bit of the roots and of why we are judgmental and critical and so on. All right. So you just repent and you release yourself. Someone was asking. Bless you guys. I look forward to talking to you soon, praying with you 6 a.m. on Tuesday and seeing you in the Inner Healing and Deliverance course. I'll go live before then again, though. See you soon. Bye-bye.